We're in Messy Grace. And we're going to talk about trust today. So I'm going to tell you this story about messy. Because, you know, what is messy? Well, I'll tell you, when I was a firefighter, as a volunteer firefighter in my hometown, we got a call to a mobile home. And when we got to the mobile home, I mean, they just go up like that, you know. And so we got there, and it was burning pretty good. And we got inside to knock it down. And we're stepping over bags and bags of garbage. Every room had bags and bags of garbage. And so we got the fire knocked down. Everything was a write-off. Most firefighters, all we do is save foundations anyway, but warm foundations. So on the way home, we're getting into the fire hall, and we're rocking all the hose, and we're talking. And all I heard the fire guys talking about, wow, that was a mess. Like, who can live like that? There's just garbage bags all over. There's everything. It's just like clothes here and everything. And it's just a mess. It's a filthy mess. So I said to Elaine, if our house catches on fire, you vacuum. Put everything away. Even if it's burning, put it away somewhere. Because I don't want the fire department to take, what a mess he got. Caruso, he lives in such a mess. Our lives are like that. Our lives can be like that. I'm not saying you're hoarders. Remember that show? That kid makes me sick. I'm like, whoa. But sometimes we're in such a mess in our lives that God wants to come in and rearrange things, move things out. We just sang about it. He's interested in helping you to get in a place where you can walk in the fullness of God and get all this mess out of your life. Some of the mess you put there yourself, some of it, most of it, somebody else has put there. But you've never removed it. So here's this. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6, or 13:6, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they'll cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. When we get to glory, you won't need to speak in tongues. You won't need to prophesy. You'll know everything. Isn't that a great thing? Some of us think we know everything now. We don't. But we know who knows everything. This trust is a really interesting area. Love and truth equal trust. Love and truth. We just heard it. Love trusts all things. Truth is what sets us free. Truth is what you need to hang everything on truth. And then love and trust are foundational to relationship. And Mark Twain says this. He's not our theologian, but he's our theologian of the day. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. You know what that means? If you tell a lie, you got to remember which lie you told to who. It's really a busy thing, especially if you talk to a lot of people. If you tell the truth will set you free, but you don't have to remember everything because you'll just know that the story's the truth. And other people that know the truth will know your story. Well, what is truth? That's what Pilate said. He said, what is truth? Now we all go, what is truth? Pastor Dan, what is truth? There's a big philosophical thing like, well, I think truth is. Doesn't matter what you think truth is. Truth is Christ. Truth is the word of God. Truth is alive inside of you. And so it's the candor of mind, which means just the openness and the freedom, which is free from affection, pretense, stimulation, falsehood, and deceit. No agenda. Truth has no agenda except to speak the truth, the facts. Remember that old Dragnet show? The whole truth and nothing but the truth. Maybe you're not that old. Some of you are wondering, what is this up here, Pastor Jim? Remember our sheep here? We got one that's bandaged up because they're in bondage and they need to be set free. And then we have one over there with bandages on it, because that one needs not to be set free, but to be healed. And the one in the middle is free. So I'm thinking about this service. And I talk about about trust like a basket. And that's your trust basket. And if I would have had time, I'd have gone to A&W because they give you little ones. How many have been in there when you get little fries and onion rings and those little baby ones? So I was driving by Highway 3 McDonald's or 3 Road McDonald's this morning. And I thought, I'm going to go in and ask them if I can have a basket. Nobody ever has asked them for a basket. They've asked for fries or maybe a basket of fries, but I just wanted the basket. And the manager looked at me like, bet she'll want to come to this church. Like, what kind of a wacko guy is that? I said, I'm talking, and I use this as a metaphor. And she says, okay. So she's real busy. And then in a few minutes, she went into her little storeroom and brought out a basket. You probably have eaten fries out of this basket if you've been to number 3 Road McDonald's. So as the picture shows, this is an interesting thing. I think we're all born with a basket like this. Maybe that's why some of us are as large as I am. But in its different ways, metaphorically, this is the basket that if you dip it down into the fries or down into the grease and you got potatoes in there, they'll cook, they'll float around, everything's fine. Then you'll lift it up and the bottom and the sides will hold all the potatoes in there. They'll hang it on this little hook and it'll all drain. Still bad for you, but it'll all drain. I think we start out with a basket like this, really finely woven, so that we can catch hope and we can catch trust. Because as you grow, and if you're fortunate to have lived in a family where there's trust was established, then you have a whole bucket full, a basket full of trust. But for some of us in this congregation, the sides have been ripped out, the bottom's been ripped out, and so there's no support here. So guess what? When all the stuff drops into your life, the deep fryer, it floats around in there, but when you go to pick it up, nothing comes because there's nothing to hold it. Does that make any sense? That could have been because of erosion, the way you lived. That could have been because somebody just took a big hammer or a cutting torch and cut all of that out of there. And so there you are with this basket that is totally useless. The frame's there, and you don't know how to trust. How do you trust? Trust in the Lord, and we'll look at that scripture in a minute, but trust in the Lord. Some of you don't trust in the Lord because he's failed you. He's not answered your prayer. He's disappointed you. And you're kind of hanging on to the religious thing. Well, I trust in salvation, but I don't trust that he cares for me. I trust in salvation so I can get to heaven. Our brother Jim Hannes, sitting here every Sunday morning, would meet me in the hallway for coffee. He would say, Jim, hi, Jim. And it was like, I'd say, is there an echo in here? Because we'd say, hi, Jim, to each other. And then just one Sunday, he comes to church, and then that evening, he's in heaven. Joan did the same thing. But they trusted more than just their salvation. We need to be people who trust God everything in our lives needs to be in this basket. And we need to know that the bottom of this basket will keep us. Will keep us. We need to be kept in him. So what happens is when you don't have a bottom in the basket and you have French fries or fish and chips or big deal in Steveston, fish and chips or whatever, and you lift that basket out, they just sit in there, and actually if they stay in that grease, they'll just eventually disintegrate. You need to be able to take your trust with you. You need to be able to be in a relationship that you trust God and you trust your spouse, you trust your kids, you trust your friends. And some things have happened that there's nowhere to hold that. So I talk to people about this because it's quite a common situation. Because if you don't have trust, you don't have hope. If you don't have hope, you don't have any future. And so I listen to their stories and I hear their stories and I say, this is what God will do. He'll repair your trust basket. If you haven't got bottom or sides in your trust basket, these are fine wires. You can see them up there in the next slide, even a little bit more. You can just flip to the next slide there. Is that the only slide I give you? Oh, that's it there. You can see these are finely woven there. And as a welder, I can see that they all spot welded these things. It's kind of cool. So what God does when the bottom's out or the side's out is if you'll let him, he'll start to weave these things back and forth. Now, they go both ways. They go sideways and they go lengthwise. And they make this perfect little net. And so you might go, well, there's nothing. There's no bottom in my basket at all. So what God wants to do is he wants to start. And he'll maybe make one here and maybe make one there and make one there if you'll let him. If you'll trust him. And then maybe he'll make one. And then so here you are. Maybe you're a month into this. Maybe you're a week into this. Maybe you're a day into this. And so there's some trust that comes, and you lift it up, and there's only three strands, and it falls through, and you go, well, what? That was stupid. I trust less now. But you have to look at it as a process of restoration. And so he'll do the three across there, and then maybe he'll go three across here. And then just in those little cross sections, maybe one or two pieces of trust, one or two French fries will just hang up there so you'll get them out. And then he'll move some more crosswise and lengthwise, and pretty soon he'll weave the whole bottom. Honestly, he'll weave the whole bottom. He'll weave the whole bottom no matter what tore it out, because he's able to do that. No one else is. No one else is able to do that. And that might take healing, as that little lamb here has got bandages on it. That might take some healing because trust has been broken. Might take some bondage because you're not able to trust. Talked about Jesse last week and how God got into the place where he could trust him to come from the dark part of the tunnel through to receive the light of Jesus Christ. That takes trust. I came to Christ because I trusted somebody. I didn't trust the religious. I didn't trust the Pentecostal assemblies. I didn't trust anybody. I wouldn't have trusted any of you. Maybe some of you don't trust me. I wouldn't have trusted you because I didn't have that relationship. But the guy I trusted, and this is your story. The guy that I trusted that led me to Christ, I had a relationship with, and I knew he was genuine. He wasn't a flake. Is real. God, people, is real. He's the basket maker. He's the basket repairer. So interestingly enough, the opposite of trust is betrayal. So listen to this. In Matthew 26, 21, or 20, 21, when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with 12. So here's communion. Here's the Last Supper. And while they were eating, he said, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. Wow. You ever thought about that? That was the first communion supper. That was the first table that Jesus sat at, first and last table, that he sat up and sat at, and he goes, 11 of you are okay, one of you is going to betray me. And if you read in that, you go, oh, is it me, Lord? I feel that way. Like, I remember being my first master's degree course, and the prof says, after she'd taught all week long, she said, And she wasn't Pentecostal, but she sure was sensitive to the Spirit. She says, and this is all pastors sitting there. And she says, I really sense in my spirit that one of you here is a perpetrator, a sexual perpetrator. Like there's 50 of us. We all paid like lots of money to be on this course, and now she's kind of concluding the course by saying, I know someone out there. Wouldn't that be, like I said, well, I just feel in my heart there's someone out here is a perpetrator. And you're all going, you know it's not you, but you go, I thought it was me. I know it wasn't me. And she says, I want you to come and see me or I'll come and see you. I didn't want to go see her. I sure didn't want her to come and see me. You ever felt like that when somebody's moving in the prophecy gifts and they start looking at you and you go, ooh. You go, that way, go over there. Don't come near me. Don't tell me something about myself. Can you imagine what I thought she might come and say? I had nothing to hide. I wasn't a perpetrator. But there's somebody in there that was. Somebody, like Jesus said, is going to betray me at the table. Isn't that amazing? And Jesus still loved him. Talk about grace beyond borders. This whole thing was just wrapped in grace. Sat at the table we take communion with now, the same table that Jesus, when we get to heaven, will take for the next time. That was the last time he took it. When we get to heaven and we'll take communion next week, the very next time that Jesus takes communion will be with us, his bride. And he said to Judas, of course, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. And see, betrayal tears the bottom out of your basket. Tears it out. Doesn't just snip it nice and clean. Tears it out of your basket. Allowing everything to fall through. And if you've been betrayed, it could be in a marriage, could be in a business deal, could be in a church situation, could be in all those kind of things. That is like somebody taking a big hammer or something and ripping the very bottom out of your trust basket. That's messy grace. That's like your house is on fire and everything's all around you and you're trying to step to get out. Jesus does really good in the mess, okay? He likes messy. He doesn't go, oh, I don't know, we should clean this up, maybe make the hallway clean. He just steps around and he comes right into where you are hurting, and he sits down with you in the midst of the flame, some through the flame, some through the water. In the midst of the flames, Jesus will sit down with you and say, hey, I'm here for you. Let me help restore your trust basket. Let me help. What about the person that betrayed you? You don't need to deal with them. You need to release them. You don't need to deal with them. You don't need to bring down the fire from heaven. You don't need to curse them. You don't even need to put them back in your life, because that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about you and allowing God in your life to restore your trust basket. So here's what I probably would have said to you if you came in and said, well, I have an issue with trust, Pastor, and I would like a counseling session. Before I knew much about counseling, I would sit you down and say, okay, so you have a problem with trust. Here's a scripture. Trust in the Lord. Well, let's pray. Because that's what the Word of God is. Trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. Right? The reality is, what if you can't trust in the Lord? Me telling you to isn't going to go, well, thank you. Boy, pastor, you're so smart. Boy, I never thought of that. I read that and I don't know why, but since it came from your holy mouth, I know what to do now. The reality is, and a lot of us struggle with this, we know that. But we don't know how to get it from here into here. And sometimes we're condemned because we don't know how. And people write us off. Well, you know, I told them. I gave them the tape and the book on Fixing Your Trust Basket by Jim Caruso. That should be enough. It's not enough. It's a relationship building with God. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is where it is, not your thinker. He talks about your thinker in the next sentence, but your heart. And that's what's been broken. And he said in Isaiah 61, I've come to set the captives free and heal the brokenhearted. I'm starting to spit now, so it must be getting good. It's the chips that make me spit. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Boy, we're smart sometimes. I understand lots of stuff. I understand your stuff better than mine. Because it doesn't really affect me as much as it affects you. And so this is trust in the Lord with all your heart, not your thinker. This is where the battle goes on. This is where the betrayal and this is where the false truths are. This is the battleground of your mind. The enemy gets in there, he doesn't get in, and then it all drops down into your heart. And if you're not careful, it'll get messed up in your spirit. And you won't know where to stand and what to stand for. But I'll tell you something, he says, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. Oh, I hate that word. I hate submitting. And he'll make your path straight. Give in. Sometimes it just really is horrible to have to admit that you're that broken and that hurt and that you've been going for years and years and years without anything in the bottom of your basket. You want to trust. You have a relationship, and that relationship breaks up. And I know as a teenager, that thing always happens. And so then you go, wow, my life's over. Yeah, I'm 13, and my girlfriend dropped me. No use living anymore. I'll never have another relationship now because I can't trust anyone. And then it gets worse as we get 16, 18, 20. We get married and that relationship falls apart. We get into a partnership with somebody and that relationship falls apart. And we get in a relationship in finances or we get in business or we get in just friends, we get on a board, we get in a team, we get in a whatever it is, and somebody severs that and the bottom of your basket goes out. And you think it's the end. I'll tell you, trust in the Lord with all your heart and trust not and lean not and don't give in to your own understanding. The word has to become yours. It has to be. Somebody can say it, and you know what? You're in that kind of condition. And I told you this before. There's times when I am so unspiritual, so ticked off with everybody, including God. And Elaine says, can I pray for you? I said, go ahead. I'm your pastor. We haven't done that for like 3-4 days now. No, I'm just saying that that's where we get to sometimes because the battle's up here. I'm leaning on my own understanding. I'm not trusting in God with my heart. Then I can't see what he's already doing. He's changing the whole universe to get things done for us so that we can trust in him. He'll make your path straight. The parking lot's straighter. Not really straight because there's still a little water, but I'll tell you, Elaine and I parked way in the far end without lights one time, and we came in, I almost broke my ankle because it was like, ooh, because it wasn't even. And then the one when you go down, that's the one where it rained. Now you have one wet sock and one will not. You can tell the difference. This is what I'm saying is that God will make your path straight and level. Will you trip? Sure, you'll trip. But he'll be a lamp under your feet. So here's how you repair your faith basket. And please, this is not seven steps to freedom. All right? And we're going to talk more about forgiveness next week. You need to know you're loved by God. If you can start weaving that one in there, none of the other ones matter. Know that you are loved by God. Loved by God. You need to know that. You need to know who you are in Christ. And all you have to do is take out your membership card to the Richmond Pentecostal Church, and that should assure you who you are in Christ. That got nothing to do with it. Got nothing to do with it. I'll tell you something. When you know who you are in Christ, when you know who you are in Christ, there is a lot of weaving goes on in this basket. And you need to know the truth because the truth will set you free. Now, I would say that the truth is these big bars that go in here and support all the other ones. And then you need forgiveness. You need to be able to receive it, but you need to be able to give it. You need to let go. You need to, somebody says, there's a country and western song, we buried the hatchet, but we left the handle sticking out. You know what? You buried the hatchet and leave the handle sticking out so you can use it again. Don't bury the hatchet and leave the handle sticking out. Bury the hatchet. Finish it. We'll talk more about forgiveness. And then giving God permission to heal. Let God heal you. Let him heal you. And then give yourself permission to receive that healing. So I love we're going to wrap it up with this. The team, if you guys would come. I love the message it says here. So begin the journey. Just like that. It's kind of like, okay, so now we've gone through all that. Begin the journey. And that's about it, friends. Be cheerful. Rejoice. Oh, yeah, we know that one in James. Count it all joy when you face trials and temptations. I don't do that very well. I face them once we get my answer. Things are better. I'm a bit more joyful. But he says, rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Isn't that true? Keep things in good repair. Check your basket. If there's holes in your basket, let them start to repair them. Keep your spirits up. Think in harmony. In other words, be in agreement with not only yourself, your family, but everybody that you come into contact with that has the same beliefs that you do. Be agreeable. There's a sweet one. That probably could do a series on that. Do all that, and the God of love and peace will be with you for sure. Greet one another with a holy embrace. And he ends his letter with, all the brothers and sisters, say hello. So let me say hello to this journey of restoration in your trust basket. Say hello to it. Say hello to him who can do it, and let him minister in your life.